one of the places it was used this past week. And the title of that was God's Voice. And Wanda, who's from Iowa, talks about wanting to be able to hear God's voice. As Jesus has said, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." She talks about the fact that she wanted to be able to know what songbirds were singing in her yard. And so she bought a tape to be able to hear them and identify them. And by listening to that, she began to pick out the different sounds in her yard. And so instead of it just being the great chatter of birds, she now knew the cardinal and the chickadee and the tufted titmouse and the rest of them. And it was wonderful for her to be able to differentiate the different voices of the different birds. And she wondered, wouldn't it be neat if we could do the same thing with God's voice? If we could pick it out of all of the chatter that comes around, all of the many voices that we hear, both good and not so good, if we could pick out God's voice in the midst of that. I think about how many times in my life that I have said, "God, speak to me. Just let me know what you want from me in this situation. Just let me know what your plans are so I can be a part of them." Have any of you felt that way as well? Just let me know. And I'll do it, I promise. Just let me out of the dark here. Out of the despair of not knowing. Out of the struggle of trying to figure it out. We aren't the first people in history to wonder what God was up to. And to want to hear plainly. In fact, as Jesus is walking through Solomon's portico during the celebration of Hanukkah, the Jews gather around him and they want to know plainly God's plan for them today. For as they're celebrating Hanukkah, they're remembering God's last great deliverance of them, the time when they were delivered from Antiochus Epiphanes, who had dared to erect an altar to Zeus in their very temple, the temple that the portico would have been overlooking that day. And Antiochus Epiphanes wanted a pig slaughtered on that altar to his god, Zeus. Well, one priest said no. And from that led a revolution that ended up freeing them to worship God again. And about 100 years of self-rule. And so you can kind of imagine as they're sitting there, or standing there, or walking around, thinking about what God had done for them in the past, what God had done for them at Hanukkah, when they took the temple back, and they rededicated it to God. And as they went to fill the lamps with oil so that they could burn and signify the presence of God, there wasn't enough oil to keep them going. And miraculously, the little bit of consecrated oil that they had burned and burned and burned. And they knew that God was with them. Sense, that's what they're asking Jesus today. Is God still with us? What is God up to? Tell us plainly how you are a part of this. In fact, the verse, "How long will you keep us in suspense?" is really translated, "How long will you take our life?" How long will you take our life? It was a slang that they used to say, "How long are you going to irritate us with this?" And I know that sometimes when I have been searching for what God wants me to do in a situation, I'm just like that. I feel like, just tell me and quit taking my life. Quit making the next moment as worthless as it is without knowing what you want from me. Just let me know so I can go on living. I want a plain answer. They wanted a plain answer. And Jesus tells them, "I've already told you. I've already given you the answer." And he's failed to believe it. You do not believe. He points to some things. And this was an audience that would have known their scriptures. They would have known what was going on. And when he points to the works that he has done, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, that should have been like a flashing billboard to these people saying, Messiah, Christ is here. For in Isaiah 35:5 it says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like deer and the tongues of the speechless sing for joy. His works had testified to exactly who it was, but they weren't seeing it. Reminds me of a Steve Martin movie. Are any of you Steve Martin fans? Do you remember the movie, The Man with Two Brains? At the beginning, I think it's at the beginning of this movie, Steve Martin is standing in front of a portrait of his deceased wife, and he's getting ready to marry another woman. And he says, if this is not the route I should be taking, give me a sign. So the picture spins around and the lights flash on and off and there's thunder and there's lightning and, you know, just about any kind of thing that you can imagine happens. And it all settles down, and Steve Martin stands there and says, okay, I'll be waiting. And in the meantime, I guess I'll just do what I've been doing. And he takes the portrait down, and he puts it in the closet. Tell us plainly, God, what you want from our life. And Jesus says, I've already told you, and you failed to hear it. What is it that stopped up these people's ears and eyes from seeing what Jesus was doing, from seeing who he was? What stops up my own? Perhaps John has given us a big hint when he tells us when and where this happens. Because I told you that it was the festival of Hanukkah. And I've told you some about the events and the thinking that they had about that time and place. Maybe some of what's keeping them from hearing and seeing who Jesus is because they're looking for a particular answer. They've already decided what they want to hear. For some of them, they wanted to hear, yes, I am the Messiah. I will take up arms and overthrow Rome, and we will be a political force. We will be a military force. Countries will have to reckon with us. For some, they knew what kind of Messiah they wanted. They wanted a Messiah that would restore them to the type of worship that they thought was appropriate and right. They would cleanse and rededicate that temple again to the right worship of God. For there were some who were not at all happy with how things were running in the temple. Perhaps there were some that liked things just the way they were. They got a lot of perks out of cooperating with the Romans. And they had a pretty nice life. And if Jesus was the Messiah, then everything's going to change. And that wasn't something they wanted to see happen. Perhaps all of the different groups of people that were gathered around Jesus that day couldn't hear who Jesus really was and what he was really about and what he was inviting them to be a part of. Because he wasn't meeting their expectations, their ready-made answers, the things they wanted to see happen. Jesus says to them, you don't get it because you're not my sheep. You're not listening to my voice, therefore you're not my sheep. In fact, I would say they aren't being sheep at all because they aren't interested in following. They want to be the shepherd. They want Jesus to be the sheep. They're saying, this is the direction we're going. Please tag along and make this happen for us. Has anybody ever prayed that way? I have to put up two hands, you know, and my feet. It's like, I know what I want. God, just make it happen. I'm telling you, it'll be great for everyone. How many times I think I've been just like that? I'm not hearing God's voice. Not because God isn't speaking. I'm not hearing Christ leading in my life. Not because Christ isn't leading, but because I am. I'm leading. I'm trying to set the agenda. I'm trying to make things happen my way. I've already got it all figured out. I just need God's cooperation. What do you think would happen in my life? What do you think would happen in yours if we stopped trying to be the shepherd and we started acting a little more like sheep? And we started taking the time to quietly listen. To not just say, I want to know, but I'm willing to follow. I want to have information. Instead, saying, I'm willing to be changed. We have our list of all the things that are important in life and all the things we want God to help us accomplish. So I think it's very interesting that this scripture says, what the Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it from the Father's hands. As many things as I set my eye on, as many things as I think are important, as many voices out there are calling me and talking about things that I could be interested in, there's really only one voice that holds the most precious thing of all, and that is Jesus Christ. And that is the gift of love and forgiveness and the resurrection. For Jesus' sheep listen to his voice, and they will never perish. They will have that eternal life. I think it's also interesting that he says, and no one will snatch them from my hand. I think so often we struggle to know what God wants from us instead of realizing that God is already with us. And if we would just relax, and as the scripture in Isaiah says, stop striving and know that I am God. Perhaps in that silence, in that quiet, in that willingness to be directed, we would hear the voice of God and his calling in our life.